For only 10 cents per child per year, the Amma Resonance Healing Foundation makes homeopathic malaria prevention available for children in Africa. Their aim is now to reach 1 million children, and with your help, 600 Africa volunteers will make this possible. Please visit www.arhf.nl and donate. That's www.arhf.nl. Thank you.
Hello. Today, we are speaking with Kelly Callahan, who is a certified homeopath in Maine, USA. She became drawn to homeopathy after she witnessed the power of this natural medicine while home prescribing remedies for her children. She studied at the Baylight Center for Homeopathy and did her advanced training at Dynamis School for Advanced Homeopathy. She is the host of the podcast 1M, a homeopath's podcast, and she is on the faculty of the Academy of Homeopathy Education. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we are hanging out with board-certified homeopath Kelly Callahan, who also has the most fun name to say ever. Welcome, Kelly.
Hello, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, so Kelly is not just a homeopath and teacher, but she is also the host of a wonderful podcast called 1M, a homeopath's podcast. And Kelly, you were my absolute inspiration for starting this podcast. I am a huge fan. I've listened to pretty much all of your episodes. And in fact, I was listening to your interview with Al and Denise this morning in the car on the way to work. I'm interviewing them tomorrow. And not just have you like completely inspired me for the day, but I now have your jingle stuck in my head.
It's a good one, yeah.
It is a good one. Can you start off by telling us a bit about your background, how you got into homeopathy, and how you started your podcast?
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in Maine, which is on the northeast, most northeastern state in the U.S. And so I was just outside in nature a lot. I was really into environmental studies and just doing natural stuff. And so I think I just naturally would gravitate more towards natural health things, being interested in leading a healthy lifestyle, et cetera. And so I got into herbalism first, actually, kind of more in college. And then, and I do have an episode on this actually with my husband. My husband was kind of the first person who kind of set me straight about homeopathy. I thought I knew what it was. And he was like, no, that's not what it is. I was doing the classic mistake of mixing it up with herbs. And his dad was a vet who learned homeopathy with Richard Pitcairn, to use in his veterinary practice. And so he was a little bit familiar with it and kind of cleared up some misconceptions I had. And then that was kind of it. And then when we got married and had our first child, I had a home birth and I knew I wanted to do things naturally. And we moved from California to Maine. And when I got here, I was like, well, I need to find a homeopath. And I didn't really know what that meant or what it would entail, but there happened to be a really great MD homeopath in town. And so we got started with him and it was great. I really took to it and I was really amazed at the results. And especially with my second child, when my son was born, he needed a remedy like right away. And a remedy I happened to have, even though I wasn't really studying a lot, I had just kind of collected a few that, you know, our homeopath had suggested. And it was kind of one of those instantaneous moments where he was screaming. And then the midwife was like, do you have aconite? And I was like, I think I do. And so she gave aconite and he like immediately stopped screaming. And I was like, wow, okay, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. A more amazing experience than the experiences I had already had. So I just got Miranda Castro's book and started using it as a mom, as so many of us do, and realized I really wanted to study it. And I was lucky enough that there was a school about an hour and a half from me, Nancy Frederick, who's senior practitioner, longtime amazing practitioner. And just a bunch of us sat in her living room and she taught us. And so I started there and yeah, pretty much haven't looked back.
Wow. And You know, that story that you've just said is so powerful, because so many of us mothers, that's why we get into homeopathy, because we experience these incredible results with our children. And of course, they don't know anything about placebo. They just know that they're in pain. Then they get given something lovely and sweet on their tongue, and the next moment that pain is gone. So It's so powerful. Yeah, absolutely. And then how did you end up starting your podcast?
So I graduated from my first professional program. And then within about a year, so I was studying to take the exam. Without a year or so, I enrolled in Jeremy Scher's Dynamis program, which is an advanced kind of postgraduate 3-year program. And about 2 years into that, I had a little bit of a kind of a health issue myself. And I had been thinking about doing a podcast for a while. I listened to a bunch of podcasts, and there wasn't anything about homeopathy. And I really wanted to listen to something that was, you know, the most important thing that I was doing. And so I think, you know, sometimes when you go through something with your health, it shakes things up a little bit. And I was like, kind of came through it, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to start this podcast. I've been thinking about it, and I decided to do it. So I kind of hatched the idea maybe in October, and I gave myself a deadline. I said, okay, by January 1st, I'm gonna release my first episode, and I just kind of jumped in. You know, I didn't know if it would be of interest to anybody. I didn't know. I was like, if 50 people listen to it, I'd be happy. If one, you know, it was really, I was doing it really for me, and it certainly became something bigger and much more than I had anticipated.
Amazing. Now, in your clinical practice, what sort of cases do you enjoy treating? Have you got any specialties? Just tell us a little bit about homeopathy and what you love about it and what sort of things inspire you about it.
Yeah, so I have to say, I'm quite interested in kind of the entrepreneurial side of having a practice and having a little business. And so the idea of kind of specializing or having a niche is always highly recommended, because, you know, you can kind of speak directly to people who are looking to find you. But I found that I have a really hard time doing that, because one of the things I love about homeopathy is how it's an option for everybody. And I'm somebody who really likes diversity. I like not always knowing what I'm going to get when I am sitting down with somebody for a consult. I like variety. And so it's really hard for me to say, well, I only want to work with kids, or I'm just going to work with women, or et cetera. And I certainly understand why people do that, because sometimes we do get really pulled in and, you know, maybe have our own personal preferences. So we want to work with a particular, you know, set of circumstances or symptoms with people. But for me, I'll see anybody. And that's what I love about it. You know, and that being said, I do have a lot of families in my practice, a lot of kids. I mean, that's it's just such an easy way for people to step into homeopathy. And I love that, because I really enjoy working with kids. You know, I homeschooled my own kids and I was a teacher. So, you know, working with families is really comfortable for me. But I also really love, you know, the men that come through my practice and the childless individuals and, you know, people who are dealing with like really significant physical pathology, but also people who are maybe just a little stuck in their lives and they don't really have anything physically that's challenging for them at the time, but they're in a transition or, you know, maybe dealing with some more kind of, you know, mental or spiritual issues. And I really love that homeopathy can meet people wherever they're at.
Well, we have something else in common there. I homeschooled my children for 2 years as well. I don't have any teaching experience, but my mum was a teacher for 40 years. So I'm a child of a teacher. But it was wonderful homeschooling them. They're both in a Steiner school now, but it was just such a beautiful experience connecting with them. And it was just really lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you treat men as well. I only treat women and children, but I feel a little bit sorry for the men sometimes, because I feel homeopaths are very unrepresented in the male department. We really need more male homeopaths desperately. It feels like whenever you look at, you know, the cohorts they go through, even at AHE where you teach as well, you just see all these females and there's hardly any male homeopaths. So I hope there's a guy listening to this and feeling inspired to study homeopathy, because we really need some men, don't we?
It's true. We are very well represented by women. But I do want to point out that when you look at who publishes and who presents, mm-hmm. that is disproportionately represented by men,
which really is true
in a lot of professions. So mm-hmm. I don't know specifically why that is, but I would certainly encourage all of the homeopaths who are women or, you know, to publish and to teach. And I mean, we do a lot of the work, and it'd be great to have our voices and our kind of clinical experiences really well known and well recognized.
Absolutely. I think that's probably a whole other topic that we could delve a little bit into, you know, in a separate podcast about why us women have trouble speaking up and having our voices heard. I think that's a whole other discussion in itself, just about, hey.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your teaching roles. What do you enjoy about teaching homeopathy? What challenges has it presented for you? And maybe some success stories of some of your students.
Yeah. So like I said, I have a background in teaching kind of straight back into college. I did like wilderness expeditions. So I kind of taught in the mountains and the backcountry, working with all ages kids, and I did ropes courses with corporate groups, and so that really led me to want to do more experiential education and less kind of sitting down at the desk type teaching. But I did get my teaching credential, and I worked with middle school, which I love. I know it'd be a challenging age for a lot of people, but I really loved it. And yeah, just as much as possible, tried to make, you know, learning experiences be really, really active and hands-on and draw from, you know, the student's own experience. And it's just something that's just stayed with me. And I didn't know when I got into homeopathy if teaching was something that I would do. I had kind of given it up when I had my kids because I really did want to be home with them. And so I got my first opportunity after I graduated to go back and teach at the school I had gone to myself at Baylight. You know, first just doing a weekend seminar and then coming in and helping out on some clinics. And then Nancy, you know, brought me in really to be her co-teacher. So for a couple of years, I co-taught with her and handled most of the clinical teaching and the philosophy. Her love is Materia Medica, and mm-hmm. she's amazing at it, and is a very close student of Lou Klein and Jan Scholten. Mm-hmm. And so she's very much embedded in that work, which is, you know, a more advanced approach in a lot of ways. So, and just being a senior practitioner, I mean, that's really where she was kind of shining at the time. And so it made sense to bring me in where I was, you know, kind of closer, you know, graduated and had some years under my belt, but closer to the experience of students trying to kind of, how do I work my way around a case? How do I mm-hmm. repertorize and all that stuff? So I think we complemented each other really well. And so we worked for her for a couple of years, and then COVID hit. Well, actually I did the podcast with Denise and Al, and we all really hit it off, and they were looking for some adjunct faculty. And so I started doing some classes with them simultaneously while I was also teaching at Baylight. Baylight was in person on the weekends, one weekend a month. And then I would do some online classes with AHE a couple times a month. And then when COVID hit, Baylight, you know, we had to stop as everybody did. And we managed to finish out our year online. But at that point, it became really clear that Nancy was ready to retire and ready to move on. So the school closed, which freed me up to do a lot more teaching with AHE. So we'll
give them a little plug. So AHE is Academy for Homeopathic Education. And so just Google them, and we'll have a separate podcast for them in a couple of episodes. we'll give them a little free plug.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many great things happening there. And yeah, so over there, I get to do a little bit of everything, which, like I said, I like diversity. I like variety. So I teach some clinical classes, or I help out in the clinic, do a little bit of supervision within the clinic, but also with students who have graduated and are working on their clinical supervision hours that are required for their graduation. Mm-hmm. Teach some philosophy, some repertory, some materia medica, some therapeutics, a little bit of all of it. And yeah, I've just been really lucky to find myself a part of that community and mm-hmm. And keep teaching.
lucky, synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, call it what you like. Wonderful. Well, you are absolutely a natural teacher because in your podcast, I love the little, you know, you have quite a long intro where you're discussing things and talking about things and teaching things. And you just have such a natural teaching style about you. That's just wonderful. And in your podcast with Al, you guys talk about, you know, you mentioned about the difference between teaching and learning. So I don't know if I should call it a learning style because it's just so easy to learn from you. You are just very good at sharing information. So I have to give you a big kudos for that. So with your students, is there anything in particular that you find is really an aha moment for them? Like, when do you really see those lights going on for them when you're teaching homeopathy?
Oh, yeah, so many. I mean, the thing about homeopathy is that, you know, you keep circling around and circling around and circling around. And, you know, the concepts that you think you really understand, you know, maybe the most simplistic foundational concepts like, you know, the minimum dose and even like, here's like, you know, these things are like, oh, yeah, that's how it works. The deeper you go, the deeper those simple concepts get. So, you know, obviously in the beginning, when somebody first starts, you know, it's kind of eye-opening, just one thing after another, because most people come into it with a little bit of experience, you know, like I did, like you're a mom or, you know, you've tried a few remedies. And, but when you kind of get dropped in the deep end of the pool and you start learning the philosophy and you start seeing the remedies in their bigger sphere of action than maybe just how you've used them at home for first aid and whatnot, it's just this incredible expansion that happens. And it keeps happening because you can go as deep as you want with this stuff, really. You know, you could learn the same remedy with six different teachers and learn something new about it each time.
Absolutely. And,
you know, so I think, you know, one of the things that happens is I see students being engaged with something that they thought that they knew and then hearing it in a new way or having a new layer unpeeled. And that's when they're like, oh, whoa, you know, I thought I knew that, you know, and I didn't, or I thought I knew, I thought I understood the depth of it and there's more, even more. And so that's kind of the first thing that comes to mind when I think about that.
I love when you say that you love a lot of variety. I'm exactly the same. I always joke that I get bored so easily. And homeopathy is the one thing that has held my attention for over a decade now. And I feel like if I had, you know, a dozen lifetimes, I couldn't even start to learn, you know, the first part of homeopathy. Just before our interview this morning, I was looking through a couple of books on my shelf and I realized there's like five or six new books that I've purchased that's sitting there. And I am just like dying to read them because I knew there's just all this new knowledge that's going to be in there. But I have all these other courses that I still have to do. And, you know, there's homeopathy is just so massive. There's so much that you can learn. You could never, ever in dozens of lifetimes learn everything that there is to learn. And like you say, that you think you know something and then you get to learn a little bit deeper and you realize it's just so expansive and never ending. Yeah, it can sometimes almost seem a little bit overwhelming. And then I kind of bring myself back to, okay, just, you know, back to basics. But yeah, homeopathy is really, it has so many opportunities and so expansive, like you said, for sure. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about, you know, the types of students that you have there. What would you say to somebody who is thinking about studying homeopathy? So one of my main reasons for starting this podcast is I have a group of over 700 mums who have all completed my introduction to homeopathy course. It's only an hour and 40 minutes, but several of them have now gone on to study homeopathy. They're kind of just, you know, doing little introductory courses here and there and, you know, kind of dabbling with it. So what would you say to somebody who is considering studying homeopathy? They might have had some good results with, you know, a few first aid type remedies at home and they are considering taking it further. Have you got any messages for them or any words of encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to keep, you know, keep learning, keep going in as far as you, you know, feel called to do. I mean, you know, just studying homeopathy, it's more than just the content. Like one of the things I think about students who start like a 4-year program is you're kind of the education itself is like a remedy, right? It's like you are going to be transformed in the process of learning this as a discipline, as a profession. And I guess, you know, that's, I think, a distinction that is important to make, is that the practice of homeopathy as a profession really is, it's a medical science, you know, and it's quite different than treating, you know, first aid and acute things at home. And you can go really far with that. I mean, I don't think you could. I mean, I think Alistair said that when they did a first aid and acute care course in New Zealand, it was something like, gosh, I don't want to butcher, but something like 1500 hours or something.
It is.
I mean, yeah, it's really significant. So, you know, I think you can know that, like, what I really want to do is just be able to treat things for my family and friends. And like I said, it's like, you can just become a amazing first aid and acute prescriber, and know a lot and stay within that scope, you know, and just know that if you look at professional programs, that really what you're doing is you're choosing a career, you know, you're choosing a practice, a profession. Now, that isn't to say that there are certainly people who choose to dedicate 4 years or 3 years or however they do it and don't practice. They just want that intensity and that level. I went to school with several people who didn't actually end up practicing. They were in it for the philosophy, and they were in it for that transformation that happens when you just learn it. But I do think there's a moment when a lot of people who have done, you know, kind of stuff at home, make the leap into professional program, and it's like, whoa, I didn't know it was this much, that it was this deep. And so it's just something to think about, you know, what do you want to do with it? And and really sit with that, you know, because you can stay in the world of homeopathy and study and go deep and be, like I said, an amazing first aid and acute prescriber. You don't always have to go into the professional route. It is a different beast.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think if you do end up going that professional route, one of the most unexpected benefits I have received from being a homeopath is that my patients are actually my biggest teachers. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much we learn from our patients or clients, however you refer to them. And the healing that happens, like sometimes I feel like I'm actually healing through my clients, and they come in and they share their stories, and you can identify with so much of that and heal in the process yourself. Yeah, it's such a transformative process, I feel.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with one of my students recently who's, you know, graduated, and she's just, you know, getting started. And she's like, oh my God, I saw 3 clients today and I'm just wasted, you know? Yeah. And it's just, you're definitely like, yes, absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough about what I feel like I benefit from engaging with clients. And it's also, you're holding a lot of space, you know? And so there's a whole side of kind of, you know, self-care and, you know, and just being aware of how it impacts you to, you know, to hold that healing for people.
I actually have a lot of my clients, psychic or very sensitive, or are healers themselves, and also fellow homeopaths. And have you ever heard of the remedy Vernix?
Yep.
Yeah, it's such a great one. I've actually found that remedy really helpful for people who do a lot of healing work themselves, and then taking this remedy to help protect their own energetic field. So yeah, it's been such a good remedy. Just off the bat, you just made me think of that when you said about, you know, caring for ourselves. And that's something else that I'm very passionate about, is that when, this is a little bit offbeat, but when it comes to the medical profession, you know, you have a 5 or 10 minute appointment with your doctor, you're in and out, and they see dozens of people every single day back to back. And that's where homeopathy is the complete opposite. We're sitting there with our client for an hour and a half, sometimes even 2 hours, really getting into the nitty gritty of it to really be able to help them. And like you say, sometimes it can really take a lot out of you. And I feel if the medical profession can learn a little bit from us, spend a bit more time with the clients and really get to know them and, you know, get to help them on a deeper level, I just think our whole medical system would be so much more helpful as well, instead of just in and out like a sausage factory. But that's also a topic for another day, I guess. But homeopathy really has a lot of a lot of its strength comes in the fact that we are spending so much time with our clients and really getting to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah. With your practice at home, is there, you know, have you got any stories that you'd like to share, any wins, anything else that you really enjoy about practicing?
Oh, gosh, so many things.
So many.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard for me when I kind of like in the moment to come up with specific examples. It's easier for me to think, talk about maybe not specific cases, but just kind of the moments that can come up that I really like when. And this is something that, you know, happens frequently, you know, you to learn to take really good notes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I always say like our job depends on the quality and the consistency of our notes, because mm-hmm. people do not remember what they told you. And as they're healing, they don't remember what was wrong with them. Jeremy mm-hmm. Scherer has a great quote. He says, healing is forgetting. And so when somebody comes to you a month later after they've been on a remedy, you know, how are things? They're great. They're fine. Okay.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could tell me. I don't remember. I mean, you know, those are the best ones, but, you know, I'll kind of go through my list. How's this? Oh, that's fine. Oh, really? Did I mention that? Oh yeah, that hasn't happened in a while. Oh yeah, no, that's only happened like once. I mean, it's just kind of thing after thing, and people really don't remember. I love that. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, you take really good notes, I would remember all that. I was like, yeah, my fees would probably double. So I really love that. I really love, you know, we often ask about like people's dreams, you know, that's something that we mm-hmm. do, and sometimes it's relevant and sometimes it's not. And I have to say, one of my favorite things is in a case where somebody has a dream that's really indicative of their state or their situation that's going on. And then when it shifts after they had a good remedy, I'm just thinking of somebody I had recently who, you know, dealt with some challenging issues in their childhood and had a lot of really scary and just disempowering dreams about mm-hmm. one of their parents. And after being on a remedy for a while, you know, started talking about dreams that had a completely different flavor. Like I was standing up for myself in the dream. I was, you know, usually I would run away in the dream, but instead I was doing something totally different. And I really love those moments. They just feel like these little hidden gems. And I love that we value that. You know, I value when somebody's skin stops itching and when mm-hmm. their headaches are less intense and less frequent and, you know, all of those things. And when I can get a glimpse into that deeper state that's shifted, I just think like, oh, yes, good. You know, it just helps me feel like we're really helping the homeopathy reach them at the deepest level.
Yeah. It's funny because you can speak with homeopaths all over the world and they will all echo what you have just said.
Oh, really?
And I luckily, you know, I always joke and say the two things I learned from school was touch typing, and we still had typewriters in my day. Mm-hmm. So I can touch type. And the other thing is learning how to make a white sauce. My two helpful things I learned from school. But I touch type as my client's speaking, and it's wonderful, exactly what you've just said. Like you'll read those notes back to them and I'll say, okay, so you said this and this and this. And they're like, oh, wow, no, I don't have that at all. And it has got to be one of the most satisfying things ever, because they come in and they'll say, oh, no, not much has changed. And then you'll say, oh, well, how is that, you know, recurring cough that you would have every evening? Oh, yeah, I haven't had that. You know, it's just so funny. If, like, once again, if I had a dollar every time somebody said that, I'd be a millionaire by now. But it is very funny. Yeah. So something else that I was actually going to say is that what you said about the dreams, I have exactly the same story of a client of mine who was having recurring dreams about her mother yelling at her in her dreams. The mother had already passed away, but, you know, she had kept on having these dreams. She's in her 60s, still having dreams most night about her mum telling her off. And then after her remedy, she came back and I said, how's your dreams going these days? And she said, actually, I had this dream and it was with my mum, and she went to tell me off and I was able to stand up for myself in this dream. And mm-hmm. it was just so magical. Like, I don't know what other therapy in the world can help you with something like this. It's healing on such a deep level. And we obviously have lots of books in homeopathy about dreams and symbolisms. And I'm trying to think of the author now. I have the that I have the book. It's probably, it'll be here somewhere, about dreams and symbolism and homeopathy.
Yeah.
It's actually very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about your podcast and what you've enjoyed about it, and if there's any particular interviews that stand out for you, and yeah, just some of the things that you've really enjoyed about it.
Yeah. So it's, the podcast is a little bit like me. It can be a little bit scattered and I can kind of like get an idea and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for a while. And then I'll be like, oh, well, actually now I want to focus on this. And, but in the beginning, I was really inspired by this podcast I've listened to for a long time called This American Life, which is kind of like a little bit of a variety show. Like they'll pick a theme and then they'll have a series of short vignettes within the hour that explore that theme, and sometimes from a really kind of, you know, sideways point of view. And so for the first year, that's what I did, was I picked a theme and I explored that theme through an interview with somebody, some materia medica and some kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites still is the first one I did on dying. And I interviewed a local homeopath here in Maine who works with people in hospice to provide homeopathy in their death. And she started mm-hmm. this nonprofit called It's My Death. And just, Val's just an amazing human. And I just loved what she was doing. And then I read this piece that Greg Bidane had written in one of the naturopathic journals about going to visit Kent's grave. Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember what the remedies were, but I just, there was something about that episode that really kind of pulled together for me exactly what I was trying to do, because for me, homeopathy, it touches so many different things that I really wanted that richness of mm-hmm. how it reaches into all these different corners. So I really loved doing that first chunk where I did that. And then, you know, I got busy because I started this when I was, you know, I'd only really been in practice for a couple of years. And because my kids were homeschooling, I kept my practice small and I had more time then. And so as I got busier, I had less time to pull together an episode like that. So I shifted into just doing an interview based. And then every once in a while, I would do a full episode on some piece of philosophy or materia medica or something that was kind mm-hmm. of coming up for me in my practice. And one of the things that was really important to me was, you know, being a teacher, was I wanted my learning to be visible. Like I wanted to mm-hmm. dispel the idea that we, you know, kind of graduate and know it all and that we don't struggle, or what does it look like to keep going deeper and to learn more? And I wanted to reveal that. I was never trying to put myself out there as like, hey, I'm talking to you because I've got it all figured out, you know? And so, you know, one year I did the kind of background theme was on failure, because I actually think we learn the most from our cases that don't go well. You know, when people Absolutely. Do come back and they say, yeah, you know what, nothing's changed, or I had a terrible aggravation and now, you know, not only is it worse, but I've got this, you know, this bag full of other symptoms. Like, you know, we all have those cases. You know, mm-hmm. it's the old kind of 20-80 rule, like 20% of your cases will take up 80% of your time. I have my 20% of cases and I'm constantly, you know, trying to figure out what is going on. And so I really feel like sometimes we don't talk about that enough. You know, you go to a webinar or a seminar or something and it's all the like, oh, this case, you know, one remedy solved all their problems. And that happens, you know, we get some one remedy wonders, but for the most part, that isn't how it goes. It's a process. So, you know, I wanted to explore that issue. I did a series where I met with Roger Van Zandvoort from Complete Dynamics in Thailand. He was so sweet to meet with me regularly. And I was really, I didn't learn a lot of repertorization very well when I was in school. So he really kind of helped me fall in love with the repertory and kind of set me straight on a lot of things, little misconceptions I had, and taught me some great tricks. So it kind of bebopped around just depending on what was coming up for me in practice. I mean, that's kind of, you know, getting back to the idea of like the importance to me of experiential learning. I want to learn and explore things that are relevant in the moment, not like some pre-prescribed set of, you know, this is what I think people will like. Ultimately, mm-hmm. I was doing it for people like me. I was doing it for myself. And if other people happen to like it, that was great. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's literally why I'm doing this podcast, because I know you're on a bit of a hiatus at the moment and I've really missed listening to you. I've realized I need to create some content to listen to in the car, because I have a 40-minute drive each way every day. So yeah, it's almost an hour and a half of driving every day, and homeopathy is my life. So I want to listen to podcasts that talk about it and get the message out there. So yeah, you have just unpacked a lot in what you've just said. I was just going to say that because this podcast is aimed more at the general public, you mentioned about Kent's grave, and I was just going to say to the listeners that Kent is probably one of our most famous homeopaths. And so I'm guessing it's his grave that you were talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. The other thing is, one of my goals is to get more mothers into learning homeopathy and using it for themselves. And I love what you said, that you could run your practice alongside homeschooling your children. And that for me was such a big selling point, because, my children are now, I'll have a 10-year-old next week. It's very exciting, double digits, and almost 7-year-old. And I could use homeopathy, alongside however it suited me, alongside raising my children. So I also homeschooled for 2 years and then just did a couple of days of clinic alongside that. And when they were younger, I had a little bit of a break for a while, and I could always use homeopathy. I could always keep my, keep my hands in the pie, or whatever the expression is, always keep it alongside raising my children. And now that they are much older, I can just go for it. And it's been wonderful to have that alongside. So any mums considering studying homeopathy, go for it. You can do it alongside raising your children.
Absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes there's this feeling that I got to get out and I got to get busy. And actually, I think you need to take it slow. I really loved those years when I really only saw maybe, there are some weeks I didn't see anybody. And then there were weeks where I, saw a handful of people. And, getting back to that depth idea, it takes time to integrate it. And, it's like the succussion dilution, it's like we get succussed and we get diluted. And, the dilution is really in the time, we don't need to rush into this. Yes. There's a lot to learn, and you're not going to learn it all in a year or 2 years or 4 years. There's a reason why I think it was Lippi who said, reread the Organon every year. I think he said actually twice a year, cover to cover. And that, he really only started to understand it, after he had been in practice for 40 or 50 years. I'm probably butchering that anecdote, but it's really close. And
I was just going
keeps
to say
us humble.
The Organon is, for the listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what the Organon exactly is? Because a lot of our listeners are not going to know. And I just want to thank you with all my heart for reading out the Organon bit by bit on your podcast, because I have not been reading it every year. I know we're supposed to, but it is just such dry reading, and your beautiful accent has really made it much easier to listen to. So could you maybe tell our listeners what the Organon is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Organon would be kind of considered like the, the Bible of homeopathy, or the ultimate instruction manual. Samuel Hahnemann is, the founder, the father of homeopathy. And this is the book that he wrote that is his life's work, that explains the theory, the philosophy, and the practice of homeopathy. And there are 6 editions, and each one, from the 4th edition to the 5th edition to the 6th edition, there's a little bit of a difference with how he dealt with potency. And Denise is the person you should talk to about that, because that's her wheelhouse of research. But yeah, the Organon is broken up in these little paragraphs called aphorisms, and each one gives a specific kind of instruction or illustrates a point, and they build on each other. And it can be very tedious to read, but everything that you need to know about how to identify what needs to be cured, how to prescribe a remedy, and then how to manage a case and how to manage the remedy is found in that book.
And it's a good insight into the mind of the man who started homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann, as well. Like, you really get an idea for him as a person, I think, reading it, and his mind and his thoughts.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really striking about it, I find, is that, even though this was, over 200 years ago, what he was working against in the medical practices of the time is really what we are still dealing with. It's just a different, you know, we just have a different technology. We just have different substances, but allopathic medicine has not changed really in its approach. It remains extremely relevant in that sense.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Something else, what you were mentioning before was about the lady who was working with homeopathy for people who are dying. And I wanted to touch on that because, you know, homeopathy is so ingrained in my DNA now that I use it as it's the first thing that I grab for. It doesn't matter what happens, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, homeopathy is my first go-to. So whenever people say, oh, I have this or this thing, can homeopathy help? I'm like, yes, of course it does. And I always have a little giggle at our receptionist because she used to come in into my room and she'll say, Do you have a remedy for this? And I was like, yes, of course, we have a remedy for everything. Mm-hmm. And now she comes to me a year and a half later saying, I'm not going to ask you if you have a remedy. I know you do. What is the remedy for? And, you know, some people might not think about homeopathy for people who are dying, but it's so powerful that I always say there is a homeopathic remedy for everything. It's not necessarily going to cure everything, but you know, if somebody is on their deathbed, you're not going to cure them, but you can give them a homeopathic remedy to help them on a mental, emotional level to accept this transition that they're going through. You know, a lot of people don't think about using homeopathy for that, but really it can be used for wherever you are, at whatever stage in your life you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So just before we finish off, I would love to hear your top three remedies for you personally. What are they and why do you love them?
Yeah, that's easy because I have this cute little leather case that I think I bought it from Helios, and it holds mm-hmm. three remedies in it, and you can put it on your keychain. So I put in aconite, arnica, and ledum. Aconite because, you know, it's when you're out and about is when you're maybe most likely to stumble into something that is unexpected, you know, could be mm-hmm. a car accident, could be like a fright or a shock, or you start feeling mm-hmm. a tickle of a sore throat or something. But, you know, aconite, for almost any condition, you know, at the start of it, aconite's the thing. So, and that was the remedy that my son got when he was born. So I'm partial to that. And then, you know, arnica, you know, kind of similarly, I mean, arnica for shock, but definitely for the trauma aspect, for the first aid aspect. Arnica is, you know, a much deeper remedy than we often think of it as. It kind of gets relegated to the bumps and bruises category, but it's actually good for so many things. And ledum, really, because where I live, you know, and that's probably the one I might rotate in and out depending on the season, but we have a lot of ticks here and there's a lot of fear and kind of freak out where I am about ticks and getting a tick bite. Mm-hmm. And I'm out in the woods a lot with my dogs. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, taking some ledum for a tick bite is, we knock on wood, have never gotten Lyme disease in my house and we do not change our activities at all.
Amazing. So, I've used ledum prophylactically as well. So we have a lot of ticks over here as well. And often when we're going into the bush, we'll take a dose of ledum before we go out and you can actually see the difference. It's quite amazing. Like we're just no ticks on us. Whereas if I forget to take it before we go out, we'll come back and there'll be ticks everywhere. So
interesting.
You can even use it prophylactically. Yeah. So yeah, I was going to say arnica, obviously such a favorite. And I've just recently got a new logo and I've got the arnica daisy in my logo.
Nice.
I am passionate about arnica. They say that God created arnica so that even the skeptics can believe in homeopathy.
It's just like, I don't know if you had this, I think it was in the 90s, there was this whole commercial campaign talking about how marijuana was the gateway drug, you know, to kids. And so I think, you know, for us, arnica is kind of the gateway remedy. It's like you start with arnica and it's the thing that kind of like, oh, wait, what? This work? What else? What else is there? Because this works so well.
Yeah, and it's so amazing how many very mainstream people have used arnica off the shelves at the chemist or whatever and never even realized that it was a homeopathic remedy. So that's always really funny as well. So, Kelly, if people want to get hold of you and find out more about what you do, can you please do a little plug for yourself here at the end and let us know how we can get in touch with you to find out more about what you do?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So my website is www.concentrichealing.com. And that's really where you'll find out most things about me. There's a way to send me a message on there. And then the podcast is 1M, a homeopath's podcast, and it is available on iTunes and Stitcher and I think most platforms. There's 5 years worth of episodes on there. And they're coming from the perspective of a homeopath. I know lots of people listen and has attracted a few, not a few students. So regardless, I think of where you're at in your interest in homeopathy, there might be something in there of interest.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. Was there any last little messages or things that you wanted to mention?
I am so excited you're doing this. It makes me so happy that, you know, the podcast inspired you to start your own. I encourage other people to start them because, you know, like we said, you can, hearing about homeopathy from lots of different voices, from lots of different perspectives, just continues to reinforce it and helps people take it in deeper. So, you know, best of luck to you. This is awesome. And thank you so much.
It's completely all thanks to you because, yeah, in your podcast, you often say, you know, you guys need to get out there and start your own podcasts. And I just love it. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, homies. I'd like to invite you to come and join me at the Homeopathy Hangout Podcast Facebook group where we can discuss past episodes and you can help me decide on new content for the show. Also, be sure to check out my YouTube channel where you'll find my free Homeopathy at Home 30-minute introduction video, which is perfect for anyone completely new to homeopathy who's ready to take charge of their own health. Just search for Eugenie Kruger Homeopathy on YouTube. And if you'd like to support this podcast, you can make a once-off $5 donation by visiting www.buymeacoffee.com/hangout. Or if you'd like to make a monthly donation, you can visit www.patreon.com/homeopathy hangout. And if you're in Australia and you'd like to purchase one of our beautiful homeopathic kits, single remedies, or one of our amazing combination remedies, visit www.eugeniekruger.com, where you can also sign up to our newsletter so you don't miss out on any special offers. And if you're interested in advertising on our show, please email info@eugeniekruger.com. Thanks so much for listening.